hands together for those people. You know, thank you, Tony. I'm very grateful to be a part of a community of people who will not only celebrate like the milestone moments, but also like journey in the valley, you know, and that's what you have found here at the Pearl Church. So if you are new for the first time, as Pastor Josh mentioned, thank you for being here. Like, I love this place. Like, I came here before I worked here, y'all. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not here because I get paid. Like, I'm here because this is my family. This is a beautiful, beautiful community that you can come and be a part of, where your heart is going to get nurtured and stirred and encouraged and challenged to go after God, where we pray and we believe we exist for you to have a home, to be a place where you belong and you can find family. And we also believe that we are a hub for mission. And that's what has really spurred this series that we're in. But before we get to that, I do want to say, for those of you that we have not yet met, I'd love to have the opportunity to put a face to a name. So if you have not yet come to one of our welcome parties, October 8th, we are hosting one of the most epic parties you're ever going to be a part of. Thank you for agreeing with me, Mel. No. What we want to do is we want to meet you, greet you, give you some really great food. The team they want just to say hello, connect with you, pray with you, offer to serve you. There's no obligation of commitment. We don't have you sign a contract. We don't really do membership around here. We're just like, hey, if you like are a kindred spirit and you feel in alignment with the mission that we have, welcome home. Like, that's what we want. So please take some time throughout the service, scan that QR code, let us know that you're new, and we'll send you some information from there. Pastors Doug and Donna, Pastors Elliot, Malia, and some of the team are not here today, but they say hello. We have just actually wrapped up Encouragement Mexico this week. I know. So for those of you who are newer to the Pearl Church family, we believe in building vibrant, life-giving churches, not just our church, but in this city, in the nation, and around the world. And we've been given the incredible privilege of being able to go to Mexico and partner with an incredible church there, where our pastors right now have been serving and encouraging. About 50 churches have been represented. How many of you know when you encourage the pastor, you transform a city? When we truly start to encourage them, there's something that happens in their bodies, and people transform. Their body of their congregation, not their actual physical body. When I said that, I was like, that was kind of weird, but you know what I mean. When we believe this, that when you encourage the pastor, when you encourage the leader, something begins to transform and take place in churches, and churches transform cities. Do you know that the church, the local church, is God's plan A? I believe it to the core of who I am, that the church is the hope of the world. Like, we, in this place and around the world, we get to demonstrate the love of God to people. And so I just want to say thank you, because those of you who've given towards Heart for the House this last year, we have been able to ensure that those pastors and leaders get to come and get to be blessed, and there's no hindrance of them being able to be encouraged. And so they will be back next week, and we'll get to hear some incredible stories. And so they say hi and that they love y'all. Well, because of that, and they're gone, I get to share the word with you today. I'm so excited. First service was awesome. And, you know, I was watching, you know, Pastors Doug and Donna when they preach. I was like, they kind of change a little bit. And so I'm like, hey, I'm just ready to bring the word, and like, we'll just see what happens. Is that cool? Sounds great. Thank you for trusting me. How many of you have been enjoying the series that we've been in the last few weeks? Yeah, so the topic has been Jesus serving and the church. If you've not heard any of these messages, please do yourself a favor. It truly has been encouraging, inspiring, challenging to listen to these messages. And, you know, as I began to just even reflect on these last few weeks, as Pastor Doug asked me to preach today, and, you know, I wanted to get in the vein. I'm like, hey, if this is what God has been speaking to our church and to our team, then what's the part that he's asked me to play? And as I began to reflect on what God's been doing these last few weeks, there's incredible points and one-liners and scriptures and all of that. But last week, as Pastor Doug was talking to us about this next season that we are going to be entering into, I began to feel like a shift in my spirit. As he was talking, and we were talking about practicals and logistics of what it's going to look like for us to move from this auditorium to the sanctuary, I felt something shift, that it wasn't just something practical, that God has been using this series to prepare us for the next season. How I would say this is, God didn't use the serving series to prepare us to move to the sanctuary, but to move into a different season. I believe that he didn't use this series to move us to a different room, but to a different realm. There has been a supernatural deposit that I am seeing in people from this series that has activated something in people to cause them to serve. Because that is what we believe God has called us to do. That Pastor Doug has said how many times, you cannot separate serving from Christianity. You can't. In order to be a fully functioning Christian, the full expression of what Jesus has done and transformed your life comes out in the expression of serving. Crickets. Ooh. I genuinely believe this, church, that the deposit that God has put inside, he's about ready. He already has. I've seen it the last few years. But I just truly believe that we're about ready to take our promise. You see, when I'm shifting into this, like, hey, I feel something in my spirit, God actually drew me to a specific scripture in Joshua. And as the people are getting ready to inherit the promised land, God actually looks at all of them and says, get ready. Get ready to possess your promise. I believe that that's what God's been doing here. Get ready. As we've been setting up and tearing down, get ready. As we've been bumping into each other into this one, we only have one door. We're like a 800 person church and we have two doors right here that we all like walk in. Get ready. You're meeting people that you've never seen, you've never met before. Get ready. There are things that have been happening in us in this last season that God is preparing us for so that we are able to maintain and sustain what he's called us to carry. And I've just been so thrilled of being able to watch it. Seeing as I look across this room and I can actually see everybody, you know, in the sanctuary, I'm like, I see you, Raquel. Like, I could see you. And the other one, I probably couldn't. But there has been something that's been happening in us. So just be ready. Be ready to use what God has been depositing in you in this season, and especially with what we've been talking about with serving, for him to really put a demand on that deposit. You see, because we do believe that we are a hub for mission into this community, that it is a part of our identity as a church, that we want to be a center, a focal point of activity, of kingdom activity, where then we go into our community, into the city, and we truly minister to people. Amen? Amen. All right, well, as, again, Pastor Doug asked me to preach on this specific topic, guys, do you know how many scriptures there are and stories there are on serving? Whew, there are a lot. And so I was, like, wrestling with it a little bit, like, I could do this, or I could do this, or I could go here. And God drew me to one scripture. And I was like, ooh. And it, when I read it to you, you're going to be like, Pastor Tasha, that makes no sense. But we will navigate through that. We'll journey through that together. So as I was reading and praying for our church, I was drawn to this one scripture. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Corinthians 12:31. You can get it on your phone, get the YouVersion Bible app. We'll also have it for you on the screen. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Another translation says this, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now, Let me show you a way of life that is best of all. For the note takers in the room, the title of my message is The Most Excellent Way. Will you pray with me, church? God, we just come before you and we thank you for this time that we have set aside to hear from you. God, I pray right now that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would lead us to a deeper knowledge, understanding, and intimacy with you. God, I pray that in this time that we have together, that your word would bring transformation to the way that we think so that we are able to discern your good and perfect will. And Holy Spirit, I ask you for your help in this moment, that we would be not just hearers of the word, but doers. So as we are navigating through this scripture, in this story, in this sermon, may you highlight ways that we could apply this to our lives. Because God, we know that it's in the application of your word that that's where wise building is found. It's in the application of your word where you call it most blessed. And so, God, we just ask that you would speak to us today. God, we pray right now for every church in the Denver metro area. God, we thank you for pastors and leaders and teams, God, who are doing just what we're doing right now, God, that we're worshiping you, we're lifting your name. And so, God, I just pray right now for an anointing to come on their lives right now, God, that we would see true revival take place in our city through the unity of our churches, God. So we just pray that in Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, context for where we find ourselves in this scripture, because again, when I say to you the most excellent way, it may not seem like there is a direct correlation with serving. So we're gonna jump into that together. Where we find ourselves here in this specific letter is that Paul the Apostle wrote this letter to the church of Corinth to address some issues that were taking place. Does anybody know of any churches with issues? Nah, me neither. Nah. So what Paul is doing here is he actually planted this church a significant amount of time before. He hears what's taking place and he's like, you know what? I need to just provide some guidance, provide some leadership, some love to help ensure that they're going the path and the route that they need to go. In this specific chapter, though, so I'd encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12. It's a great letter, but or the whole book, really. Whole chapter, book? Yeah, you know, guys know what I mean. This specific chapter, though, what Paul is addressing is the topic of spiritual gifts, what they are, and how to use them. You see, based on different commentaries I was reading, the Church of Corinth, they had an abundance of spiritual gifts in the actual church. So as people were getting saved, these were very gifted people. The Holy Spirit was coming on these people and he was depositing spiritual gifts inside of people. But how many of you know that there are times, you know, that when you're like, hey, I just got saved. I've recognized that I have something to give. I'm just not sure what to do with it. Paul is just addressing these people saying, hey, you have been given a gift, but it is not meant to be used just for you. But instead, it is meant for a few things. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says that to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given, it is given for the common good. Do you know that here in this scripture, it says that spiritual gifts were given for the good of the church? He was writing a letter to the body, the church. Those gifts were given for the good of the church. They were meant to edify the body of Christ, and they were meant to advance the gospel in Corinth. This was the purpose of those spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts were used, I'll summarize this, to serve God and others. Can we get personal real quick? Do you know that your spiritual gifts were given to you to serve God and others? Well, that's a great response, y'all. Yes. I said this to the first service. I really like interaction. It like helps, you know? So do you know, Pearl Church, that you have been given gifts? Yes. That you have been given spiritual gifts? Do you know that? Then do you also know that God actually has called you to be a steward of those gifts? How? By serving him and others? When I look around this room and I know stories and I see giftings in people, I see that we, very similarly to the Church of Corinth, have an abundance of gifts. You are some of the most incredible people that I know. And it's not just because you have these gifts. So I'm not up here feeling like I need to be Paul to the Corinthian church going, hey, y'all, you're not using your gifts right. Like, let's adjust. Instead, I'm here saying, keep going. Keep doing it, Pearl Church, because you are doing what the Bible says. As I look around this room, I see these gifts. The gifts, the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, of working miracles, the gift of prophecy and the discernment of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy. You can find all of these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, and I am a firm believer that those gifts still exist in the church today. They still exist. He's still giving them. The Holy Spirit is still moving because I'm seeing it. How could you deny it? I'm looking at, again, across this room. If y'all could see what I see, you would see a people who truly have the revelation that a spiritual gift that God has given me is for the good of the church. It's for the good of the body of Christ. And it's for the good and the advancement of the gospel message. That you truly have an understanding of 1 Peter 4:10. That says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Another translation reads it and says this: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. May I say this? Whatever gifts that we have received, we must look at them as gifts given for the use of serving others. So I just want to ask you a question as we're navigating through this message. I want you to think about a few things. How are you using the gifts God has given you to serve others? Excuse me. Have a moment with the Holy Spirit. This is not meant to be a question to get you to like analyze, but actually just to get you to reflect. Because you know what I see? And what I felt like when I began to ask myself that question, I felt the Father's delight on this house. It wasn't how are you, meaning why aren't you doing more? That's not what I felt. I'm saying the how are you in this way, that we are leading, we have groups that are ministering to people. We have teams that minister to people. We have Pearls of Hope. There's all these different things that are happening in our body, and we are utilizing our gifts to best serve others. Pearl Church, can I say well done? Can you give our church a hand? Not out of pride or out of boasting, but just the reality that there is an activation in this house that says, I have an understanding, not just a revelation of head knowledge, but something has transformed me to then apply this to my life that says, God, you've given me a gift and I'm going to use it to serve other people because I want to be a faithful steward. Do you know at the end of our lives, what does God say? Well done, good and faithful servant. That is what I see in this house. So well done, Pearl Church. And let's keep moving with that spirit, with that heart, into this next season that we have. Man, I pray right now, even as you ask the question, that you experience the Father's delight on your life. That the way that you are involved, the way that you are serving in this house and in your community, that God as the Father says, I'm proud of you. Keep going. Because you know the definition right here of serve, is it's to be a servant. That's funny, right? It's to attend. It's to wait upon. But do you know it's also to minister to people? It's a way of ministry. It's to relieve one's necessities, to provide care of, distribute things needed to sustain life, to care for the poor and the sick, to attend to anything that may serve another's interest. You see, this is not meant to be complicated. Even as I began to ask that question, a thought that I had when I was studying was, when I ask you what your gifts are and how you're using, that people stumble over gift. Don't worry about that. I'm going to encourage you to do something. Serve. Instead of asking God, what's my gifting right now? Ask, where can I serve? And trust that he will reveal it. Trust that he will, because he wants you to desire those. Paul said it in the scripture we read, right? He says, eagerly desire helpful gifts that build the body. That's not bad. But there is something that says, do that, and yet I will still show you a more excellent way. You see, in a series like this, I kind of felt for Pastor Doug a little bit when they were like launching it. Because how many of you know, like a lot of times like when we preach messages, people think we have an agenda. We do. I do, we do. We love you. And if God is bringing revelation to our team, we believe this. Ephesians 4, pastors are called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I think you should be grateful that your pastors have an agenda to see you fully released in the giftings of God on your life. I will not apologize. I love you, and I want you to experience the fullness of what God has for you. No apology. I ain't apologizing. So when I stand up here and say, join the dream team, no apology for me. You should join the dream team. Why? Not because we need a bigger team, but because I know what serving does in the life of somebody that just sacrifices their time, their talent, and their treasure. Because what it does, I believe it's the period. Like when God saves you, it's an outward expression of an inward transformation that says, I'm in. I'm activated. I'm serving. So I will not apologize. So I do have an agenda today. But let me tell you what it's not. I think this, that if we make this series and the topic of serving just about the practice of serving and not the heart of serving, we've yet to grasp the full message of what serving means. If we make it just about external works versus the outward expression, I said this already, of an inward transformation of what Jesus Christ has done in our hearts, we have yet to grasp the fullness of the message of serving. Because Paul says this, there is something more excellent, the most excellent way. You see, serving is not about guilt or obligation. So as we've been navigating through this series, if you have felt that in any way, can I check that voice at the door? I'm not standing up here to guilt you or make you feel obligated to serve. That is not my job. It's just not, and I'm glad it's not, because that would kind of be bad. I don't like guilting people to do anything. I don't like it. But you see, what serving is, it's about genuine love and willful obedience towards our Heavenly Father. There are so many different scriptures that talk about this, that it is not about, I'm gonna say this one more time, it is not about guilt and obligation. It is about genuine love and willful obedience. That's what serving is. And if we could walk out of this sermon series recognizing that serving is about genuine love for God and his people, then I think we're on to something. Because he has something for us to do, Pearl Church. And so I want to talk to you about what it means to walk this out in the what Paul would describe as the most excellent way. So we're going to highlight three lessons inspired by Paul. And it's so we'll start with this, the most excellent way. Number one, so for all the note takers, prioritize serving in love over giftedness. Now, I've just spent the last, like, a long time talking about giftedness. It is not a bad thing. Paul says this, eagerly desire the gifts that are most helpful for the body. He says it. He gives us permission to desire greater gifts. Giftedness is not bad. What Paul does say here, though, is that we need to prioritize serving in love over those gifts. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. Check this out. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love. I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. Paul goes from talking about how we should utilize all these gifts, and then he throws this in. Yet the most excellent way is to love. And then he talks about 1 Corinthians 13, about what it means to love. But can you imagine, church? Well, let me have a personal moment, okay? Act like no one else is in the room. It's just me and you sitting, you know, we're at coffee, we're in a group setting, all the things. And I'm like, hey, does anybody in the room want to speak with eloquence and speak in tongues of men and of angels? Man, this is nobody. Okay. Does anybody want to have the gift of prophecy? I'm ready to pass it out. See, thank you for being honest. What if God was like, hey, do you want to fathom all mysteries and all knowledge? What if he's like, hey, you could have the faith that can move mountains. Do you want that? See, thank you. What if we were able to give all that we possess to the poor? And what if we had the type of position in our lives that says, God, I'm so willing to be at a place where I will sacrifice my body to be a martyr for your kingdom? I feel like there are people who are saying that they want that, right? Paul said it was okay. I'm giving you permission to want those kinds of things. It's okay. But what we need to remember, we could have all that, yet without love, Paul says that it amounts to nothing. How important is it that we have love as our motive when we're serving? If giftedness and if serving is the way to display the character and the nature of God, love's the fuel. We need to have love in order to do what we are called to do. You see, it says this. We're just going to hash it out here. Speak with eloquence, but without love, you're reduced to a hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. I didn't want to do this, but someone asked me if I was going to do it, so now I feel a little like I should do it because I did it in the first service, so I need to do it in the second. Okay, thank you. Can you imagine that you are at your place of you're at your place of work that God has positioned you in, or you're at school, and it's like, hey, we want to give you like the gift of eloquence. Like you can speak to people, you can listen to people, you can share like words of knowledge and prophecy and all of that. Do you know what I find to be really interesting is that as you are doing that, if you don't have the motive of love, do you know what you sound like? That's what we sound like. That as people are pouring their hearts out to us, that if we in those moments don't have the motive of pure love, when they're talking to us, can you imagine? Share your heart with me, how your family's broken, and I'm trying to encourage you without a motive of love. The Bible says this. This is not me making it up or even having fun clanging a cymbal. It says we will be of hollow sound. God has called us instead to be people who bind up the brokenhearted, who proclaim freedom for the captives. So when we have that motive of love, people are able to hear what we have to say that will draw them to the love of the Father. If we have the gift of prophecy, a profound understanding of even understanding God's hidden secrets, that we possess unending supernatural knowledge. People, if we even have the faith that moves mountains, it says in the Bible, if we don't have love, it's of no significance. Is anybody else wrestling with this with me today? When I was reading this, I'm like, God, how is that? But what it comes down to is a prioritization. It's a prioritization, it's a motive issue. That it says we could be generous to give everything I own to the poor, that I could even offer my body to be burned as a martyr. But without the pure motive of love, there's no value. This is the word. So what I believe that God's highlighting in this moment for us as a church is that we prioritize love, serving in love over giftedness. That we designate it as the most important, that we cultivate love over eloquence, love over knowledge. Again, I don't want to negate the fact that we should also be desiring this. It's just about delegating or designating as what's most important. Because we should desire things that help the body. But we need to, Pearl Church, continue to prioritize and cultivate and practice love in serving. What does that look like? Well, right after, Paul talks about it. He gives the characteristics of what it means to serve in love. Oftentimes, this is a scripture that you'll hear at a wedding. But instead, Paul actually says this. I'm like, they watered it down. I'm like, he actually says this. The most excellent way for you to function in the body, to serve God and others, is to prioritize love over giftedness and then function in this way. And here are the characteristics of serving in love. You ready? It's in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. But I'm going to read them in the Passion Translation because I like it. Y'all can email me later on whether you like that translation or not. We'll just, you know, it'll be fine. But read it in the NIV because that's, you know, but I like this one because it brings an understanding to this. It says this, how we serve in love. Y'all ready for 15 points? I will not elaborate. I'll just read. You ready? How do we serve in love? That we are incredibly patient. That we are gentle and consistently kind to all. That we refuse to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. That we do not brag about our own achievements. That we don't inflate our own importance. That we do not traffic in shame and disrespect. That we do not selfishly seek our own honor. That we are not easily irritated. That one got me. And that we are not quick to take offense. That we joyfully celebrate honesty. That we find no delight in what is wrong. That we are a safe place of shelter. We never stop believing for the best for others. We never take failure as defeat, and we never give up. Those things right there is what Paul is asking us to do, to live the most excellent way. That when we prioritize serving in love over giftedness, this is the life he has called us to. Number two, in the most excellent way, choose serving in love over personal satisfaction. Galatians 5:13 says this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. It says this in another translation, for you have been called to live in freedom. But do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Do you know that when Christ came, it says this in Galatians 5:1, that when Christ came to set us free, he wants us to live in freedom. Go figure. But I'm like, why did Paul say it that way? Because we have access to freedom, but we have to choose to live in it. But not only then do we choose to live in freedom, it's what do we choose? How do we live in that choice? Paul makes it very clear here of what we need to do. You see, you've been given freedom, which is liberty to do things, to omit things. But what I love about a different translation, it actually describes what true freedom is. Check this out. It says, freedom means that we become so completely free from self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. That's the word of God right there. So what I believe that God was highlighting to us in this scripture is about choice. See, we have choices every single day that we get to choose our course of action. Will we choose to indulge in the flesh? You know, I think sometimes when I hear this kind of thing, indulging in the flesh, people think of like the most egregious sorts of sins. Like, we won't even go into that. Think about your old life real quick, and then let's come back. You're saved, sanctified, redeemed by the blood, like, you know? But there are things that still in human nature that it's one thing when you're saved, and that's another thing to live by the Spirit. And so we have choice. So we need to decide, Pearl Church, do we want to indulge in the flesh? Do I want to get mad at the person that like tried to cut me off on the road? Do I want to do that? Does that seem like a sin? I don't know. Going back up to what love says, it says I don't get easily irritated. Can I be real, Mel? Like, okay, but did that seem like a massive sin? No. But I'm like, sin is sin, y'all. And I'm like, God has called us to a higher standard. And he's saying choose. Choose this, choose. Choose to serve in love over personal satisfaction. That's your choice. Do I want to personally be satisfied, like giving a high five to the person that cut me off? Thank you, Jez. But I would actually be way more satisfied doing something else, y'all. But instead, God's like, Tasha, they're going to roll up to your church one day and be like, hey, what up, Pastor Tasha? I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, no. I'm saying this in jest, but I'm serious, guys. We have a choice. We have a choice to serve in love. One translation says this: it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. You're free. You're free from sin. You're free from death. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. How do we do that? Right after that, you know what I love about the Bible? Is like, it's a full story. That we take this one scripture out and then it's like, hey, how do we do this? Oh, the very next one has a good answer for you. It says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. You ready? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you're asking yourself today, Pastor Tasha, how do I choose to serve one another in love? I'm gonna ask you this. How would you want others to serve you? I know that might sound kind of weird because all of us would be like, I don't want anyone to serve me. Well, then you're also then stopping somebody from fulfilling the call of God on their life to serve you. That's another message. Whew. But it says this, for love completes the laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in that statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. How do we do that? There's this quote that I read a few years ago, and by a few years, I mean a really long time ago because I was in youth ministry a long time ago. And this person said, be who you needed when you were younger. So what I would say is for you, it's be who you needed when you were blank. How do we best serve to choose to serve people in love? Who did you need when you were discouraged? You needed someone to come alongside of you and encourage you. Go do that. When you felt lonely and you needed to be seen, be who you needed to somebody else in that same season. Go do that. That it's not supposed to be complicated. We know how to love ourselves. We might, most of us do. There's also other things there that we probably need to work out with the Holy Spirit, and I want to pray for you at the end of this. We inherently, though, know different things about how we can show up for other people. We just have to choose it. And that's what I believe God is highlighting for us, is we need to choose to not just do whatever we want to do. Can I tell you a story about that? I remember when I first came to the Pearl Church 10 and a half years ago, and I experienced an incredible, incredible team of people where I felt so loved and seen, and I don't remember worship, I don't remember the word, I just remember feeling like I was home. And I think there's something to be said in that moment, that as I experienced something, something began to transform in my life that led me to want to be a part of doing that for somebody else. Because not everyone will have that experience. Not everyone sees what you see, experiences what you experience. But do you know that God can use you in that way to be that for somebody else? Say you had a bad experience in church. Do you know that you could be part of the redemption story of someone else so that they don't have to have that? I think about a conversation that I had with the youth pastor at the time, and going back to, you know, be who you needed when you were younger and really understanding that this would be a choice. I remember having a conversation with her and going, hey, like, I want to be a part of the youth ministry team. Like, tell me how I can serve. All I'm asking is please do not give me high school girls. I remember, not because they were bad, but because of who I was when I was in high school. I did not want to deal with Tasha Garza in any form. I was like, oof, no. But I remember in that moment having a conversation with her and telling her, hey, I'm a middle school girls basketball coach. Like, I know how to relate, you know, to fifth or sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. Like, I have a bunch of candy in my car. Like, we play, like, basketball. You know, like, it's great. Like, we just have a good time. And then I was like, or, like, young adults, because I believe that they're, like, on the verge of, like, stepping into, like, these really massive, decision-making moments where they're going to change the world. Like, can I do there? But just not here. I don't know if I've ever publicly said this. Like, whoops. I say all that to say, though, I had a decision when the youth pastor came to me and said, hey, Tasha, there's a need. We have a few shifts taking place, and there's a need in this specific area. And I had a choice to make. I remember where I was in the DoubleTree Hotel, and I looked at her and I said, I will choose to say yes, even though I had no idea what was about to come. And can I tell you, those 4 years were some of the best years that I've had in my entire life. I got to actually stand beside one of my first ever high school girls this last weekend and watch her marry the man of her dreams. And I think to myself, what if I didn't choose this? What would I have missed out on? Not just in what I've experienced, but then also, and I can just say this because I know she's told me, but also the influence that I had in her life. What are you saying yes to, Pearl Church? Because no matter what, you're making a choice. So whether you are actively engaged in what God is calling you to do or not, you made a choice. So I'm going to ask you and encourage you, for those of you who are fully functioning, keep going. For those of you that are on the fence, this is an invitation. Remember, this is not about guilt or obligation. This is me encouraging you. Take that step. Choose to serve in love over your personal satisfaction and your preferences. Say yes and choose to follow where God is leading you. Be who you needed when you were younger. Be who you needed when you were in seasons of discouragement and despair. Be who you needed to those around you. Number three, demonstrate serving in love with action versus words. In 1 John 3, 16-18, it says this: this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. How do we know what love is? Because Jesus laid down his life for us. And then it says we ought to lay down our lives for others. It continues to say, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words of speech, but with actions and in truth. It says we know that what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for others. I love this translation because it says, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show that truth by action. Let us not just be a people who talks about it, and we're not, and I'm proud to be a part of a house that follows through with this. But let this be a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. You see, we know that Jesus loves us. Why? Because he sacrificed his life for us. He demonstrated something to us. And the definition of demonstrate is to clearly show the existence or truth of something by giving proof or evidence. See, when we say, hey, I want to serve in love. I love people. I love this city. I love this community. I love this church. The most excellent way that Paul describes here is about action. It's not about just saying it. Hear my heart in this. That we show the truth of who God is and his character, and by what we do. It's in practical acts of love more than just words. We demonstrate who God is to a hurting world, not by merely what we say, by what we do. And I believe, and I'm watching it happen, people say yes and choosing, they're prioritizing love, they're choosing serving in love, and they're demonstrating it. You group leader who said yes, even though you're like, I am not equipped to do this. You choosing to open your home and allow people to build relationships with God and other people. You're demonstrating it. When you are out there in the parking lot waving at someone saying, hi, I'm so glad you're here. You're demonstrating the love of God. You don't have to stand up here to demonstrate that. It can be anywhere. But I do want to say that it's when we're demonstrating love, that if we make it just about the city and not our own community, our own church family, we miss the fullness of the message of the call. Also, if we make it just about demonstrating love within the context of our community and not outside these walls to this city, we've missed it. It's both. It's all of it. Because when I read the Bible and I see the gospel message and the narrative of what Jesus Christ did, he served a stranger. He served the masses. He also served those closest to him. That is what I believe that God is asking us to do, to demonstrate it, to act. How do we do that? There's so many different references in the Bible of what you can do. I've given you some of those examples. Take someone to lunch. Might seem like a small thing. It's not. Decide to give a gift card to someone who just had a baby or is in the hospital. Send flowers. Because what are you demonstrating? You're actually demonstrating and revealing God's character to them because they feel seen. They feel loved. They feel supported. Please do not underestimate how God can move in you and through you through practical acts of love. Sending a text message when you think about somebody, giving them a call, taking them to lunch, serving coffee, serving on the parking team, doing this camera thing over here, leading a small group, saying yes to be a part of the work day that's about to come up for facilities, saying yes to building Pearls of Hope bags. These are ways that you can demonstrate love, serving in love, which ultimately leads people what? Not to us, but to the character and the nature of our Father. That is what you are called to do, Pearl Church, to prioritize serving in love over your gift, to choose serving in love over your personal satisfaction, and to demonstrate serving in love in action, not just words. So if you can stand with me today, I just want to pray as we get ready to wrap up, and I'll just have everybody come up. My prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit spoke something to you. Whether it was something about this message or something that just crossed your mind that inspired a thought, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. But my prayer for every single one of you when you walk into this place is you don't leave the same. Because it's impossible to have an encounter, a true transforming encounter with God, and not leave changed. So I want you to have a moment with God to allow the Holy Spirit to speak. So I'm going to ask you right now, go ahead and close your eyes. And I want you to have a moment of reflection. The Bible says for you to allow God to search your heart, to allow him to know your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, all of it. Invite him into that space right now and ask, I dare you, ask, what are you speaking to me, God? How do I prioritize serving in love? How do I choose it when I don't want to? And how do I demonstrate it when it's inconvenient? I just want to pray for you as you're having that moment with the Holy Spirit. Because again, I believe that what you put into this right now in this moment, he's going to meet you. But what I want to do is I want to pray for the entire church as we continue to prepare ourselves to move into a different season, a different realm. There's three things that I just want to pray. So if you could just lift your hands and join me in this prayer. God, we come before you. God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit brings wisdom and revelation. God, we thank you that you search our hearts and that you know everything about us. And God, right now in this moment, we give you permission to speak, permission to encourage, to adjust, to challenge. We ask right now for your alignment in our hearts, that we would be so aligned with your way as Paul described it, the most excellent way. God, that's what we desire. That our hearts and our motivation would be what yours is. And God, I ask right now that you would transform that in us. That if there are areas of our lives right now where we felt a little challenged, a little gut checked, right? Maybe even had a little bit of a bad attitude saying that girl doesn't know what she's talking about. God, I pray right now that you would transform us as you see. It says it is your word that transforms our mind, that it renews our mind. So God, we ask that it's your word, not mine, yours, that would transform the hearts of your people today. And God, I ask for an activation that would happen inside of us, that God, we desire to demonstrate your love to a world that is hurting and in need of the gospel. So God, I pray right now that you would challenge us, even this week, that if there's a conversation we need to have with a coworker, God, if there's a text message we need to send, if there's a lunch we need to buy, if there's a way for us to display hospitality, God, if what do we need to pray? How are we serving? How are we tending to people that you have put in our care? God, I ask right now that you, Holy Spirit, would empower us to move in that realm so that we may demonstrate the true love of God. You know, every service, I just, whether someone's here or not, I can't pass up this moment for the opportunity to invite someone into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it says this, we talked about it, that in 1 John 3, it says, how do we know what love is? It's because Jesus Christ came and he laid down his life for you. The Bible says that God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, that if you so believe in him, that you will not perish but have eternal life. But there's a receiving that happens because, you know, Jesus did it no matter what. He already did it. It's done. It's finished. But there is a moment where he asks you to receive this gift. And so if there is anybody in this room that has yet to receive the gift of salvation, I'm just going to have you lift your hand in this place. We're not going to have you come forward. But if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to that space today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. If anyone did make that decision today, just know this, that we are so excited that you did that. And if you would do us a favor, there's going to be a team out here with these really cool looking lanyards that has a QR code, or there's a QR code in front of you. You scan that and you let us know you made this decision. Because I'm telling you, it's the best decision that you've ever made in your entire life, to give your life to Jesus. And we want to be people who walk with you in that, because you are not meant to do this alone. We want to help equip you and talk to you about what it means now to be a follower of Christ. And so, Pearl Church, can we just give it up for those people who made that decision today? We're so thankful. I just want to say thank you just for your time today, and we're so excited for what God's doing. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to end in a worship song, and Pastor Josh will come close us out.